and the podcast has started. It has commenced. And with that being said, the chapter one of this podcast shall open with me using a verse, particular lyric of an artist or a singer that I like. If you're a fan of the podcast, if you have been listening for a minute, you already know how it works. And today we are going to quote Wu-Tang Clan, who said in the song sometime before the Bushes got in office. I don't know the timeline of release of all that old school New York head throughout. We all fight in the tunnel type music. I name myself a very talented historian. I tend to lose track of all it after a certain point. But they sent in the song some 30 to late 20 years ago. Wu-Tang Clan ain't nothing to F with. Wu-Tang Clan ain't nothing to F with. If you were part of Wu-Tang Clan at the moment, if you were a fan of the Wu-Tang Clan movement, if you were in the northeastern region of this country, then of course you know during that time and era how impactful it was. It was an amazing thing to be a part of. With that being said, my name is JT. Welcome to the People's Paradise Podcast. Thank you for listening. Thank you for being a part of the family. One peace, one love. How you guys doing? What's rocking? What you guys up to? It is Monday, almost Tuesday. How's it going? We have 3 more days left of Halloween. We have 3 more days. Women, you have 3 more days to enjoy every single party that you are allowed to dress up as a slutty police officer or a slutty firewoman, or dress up as Catwoman being in a sexual relationship with Robin. If your boyfriend doesn't have the balls and isn't tall enough to be Batman, he can be Robin in the relationship as possible. I actually like Halloween. As an adult, you look at Halloween a little bit different, because when you were a kid, you just think candy, candy, candy. You know, as an adult, you just think carbs, 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 sugar, carbs, sugar. I might have diabetes, high blood pressure. And you know, two of those I ain't been diagnosed with. But the carbs, I am trying to watch my carbs right now. I'm trying to get my abs set for summer 2019. I'm going on a cruise in June, so I gotta look sexy. But... and shout out to the homie Dava at the coffee shop that I'm recording this at right now. She made me this white chocolate mixture thing. Bro, it tastes bomb as bombs. It tastes bomb as the plane that flew into the World Trade Center. That is a joke that we should not make right now. But I had a lot I wanted to talk about in this episode. Shout out to Joe Rogan. Really, really talented podcaster. Talented locutor in general. Very eloquent, very well read. I was watching a small clip that he did with Brett Weinstein, and he was talking about a debate between cult versus religion. And they basically were saying, what's the difference between a cult and a religion? And what makes a religion better than a cult? And, you know, either of those two gentlemen had differing opinions about that. I name myself a man of many cults. I am a man of many cults. I am a part of the cult of Kendrick Lamar. I am part of the cult of Cardi B. I am part of the cult of Offset from the Migos. You feel me? I participate in many cults. I participate in the cult. It's the fans of Goliath from Gargoyles. You know, 1,000 years ago, superstition and the sword ruled. It was a time of darkness. It was a world of... I'm really letting y'all know, low-key, how nerdy I really am by letting y'all just revealing entertainment that I love and listen to so recreationally. But, to speak seriously, let me get all the jokes aside, cult versus religion, what is the difference? I want to ask you guys this, because this actually does interest me, because when you look at a cult, when you look at a religion, more or less, there is similar structure. There is usually a spiritual basis, spiritual foundation. It's obviously a gathering place. It's usually some type of deified human figure in the religion, at the center of the religion. Whether you're talking about the Jim Jones movement, or whether you're talking about Jesus and the Christianity movement. I personally think that the difference between a cult and a religion is more of a game of tag with terminology. I think they are more or less the same. I do think they're more or less the same. I think the only difference between cults and... You know what is interesting with, like... And this is a parallel. This is like... when you talk about Scientology... most Christians are most people are against Scientology. Scientology has a really bad reputation, has a really bad stigma for being a religion for idiots, for wackos, for crazy people. And I've actually visited a Scientology. I've visited altars before. I've walked into a mosque. I went into a mosque and had service. I went into a Buddhist. I didn't go to a Buddhist one. But I went to a mosque and had service there. Of course, I grew up in the Christian foundation. I grew up in a Christian household. I grew up in a Christian structured family. My grandmother was a pastor, preacher, Sunday school teacher, choir, everything, cookie maker, everything that matters in the black household. So, I've always had a Christian basis in my life when it comes to just how I explore knowledge, how I look at things. I'm atheist now, more or less. I went to Scientology meetings. It's interesting because, and I was going to make this point in the podcast, and when Joe and Brett were talking about it, I thought about this. Like, it's so weird to me the stigma that Scientology has against the Scientologists have, because I've always said, from what I understand, the main difference between Scientology and the main difference between Christianity is Christianity believes there's a God and angels, etc., etc., versus with Scientology, from what I've read, they believe in an alien God that created us is going to come back and take us, etc., etc. And from what I also understand, the person that created the religion was also a science fiction novelist. Now, what I said was, the craziest thing about that, when you compare most Judaic religions to Scientology, the craziest thing about the comparison, and when you do make the comparison, is Scientology in the modern world probably makes more sense. You know, like if you ask anybody who's around my age, in their 20s or in their teens, and you ask them, which do they believe more in, angels or aliens? I'm going to say at least 7 times out of 10, they're going to tell you aliens. I do think like nowadays, particularly in America, I can't speak for the young generation in other countries, but I do think growing up out here, I think generally when you go around here, I do think it's more common for you to have an open mind when it comes to beliefs outside your main grounded religion. You know, I think the people who were born in like the 80s and 70s, I do think their brains started to wander a little bit, but I do think they have more of a grounded faith, solid belief in Christianity or in Islam or in Jewish faiths. And that's not to say that everybody who's born in the 90s and 2000s non-believers. It's not to say that all of us are non-believers. It is not to say that all of us are non-believers. I can't speak for all of us. What I will say is I do think our generation is more open-minded, at least the generation that's in America. At least the generation that's in California. It is what it is. Leading from that conversation, I guess we can have the talk and say, which is more interesting? But leading from that conversation, because I do think cults and religions are more or less alike. Now, granted, when we do think of cults, we think of all the crazy, the 4 or 5, 6 or 7 crazy cults we do have that have gathered 400 to 500 people and one sitting and had them kill each other or have them kill themselves or believe that the doomsday was coming at this age and we should sell all our life insurance, sell our positions because Jesus is coming back that day. Those extremes that you have, truthfully, you can have any cult. I mean, hell, in essence, because, I think it's, to name something a cult, I think it's just a game of tag with terminology. Like, I think you could look at the Beehive of Beyonce as a cult. They really love Beyonce to a level that is just, unimaginable, just incomprehensible how much they really love this woman. Like, bro, they love this bitch. They will kill babies for this woman. Like, they love her a lot. So it's kind of weird. Just like, think about humans in general is when we gather in masses and groupthink, we're dangerous. And that's with everything, whether it's in religion, whether it's in politics. I was listening to an interview that Joe Rogan did with Steven Crowder. Shout out to Steven Crowder. I'm actually subscribed to his YouTube channel. And I like Steven Crowder because a lot of his opinions that he has, even though he's far right, he's Republican, a lot of the opinions that he has, I do share about things. I do notice that he kind of has that same goggles of hate, blinded by hatred of the left that he says that the left has for the Republicans. And I think it kind of like dulls his blade, dulls his vision on a few issues. And that's what I would say about Steven Crowder. I think that a lot of times with humans, when we get into mass group things of like 300-400 people, when we all get in our little room, get around our little friends and stuff like that, get a few cups of coffee and feel like we're welcome, feel like we're all one with one another, I do think it gets to a point where it's like, oh my God, everybody just thinking the same thing and nobody's having any outside difference of opinion. So it's dangerous. That's just my personal opinion. Now, with that being said, We could branch away from that and have a conversation about, do you think organized religion is good for humans? Do you think organized religion is good for us as a people? And I want you guys to let me know in the comments of the podcast, do you think organized religion is necessary in this modern world that we have, where we not only do we have, thanks to the efforts of Steven Jobs, of iPhones and orderable punani, do you think organized religion is necessary now? And I mean, me personally, how I feel about it is, I think, like, I don't think organized religion is necessary. I don't believe in organized religion. I don't subscribe to it. But at the same time, well, I'm gonna say this: I don't believe in organized religion. I don't like it. But at the same time, I do think the average man needs a belief system to follow. And in the year 2018, Christianity has existed for, say, 2,000 years. Judaism has existed for, I'm assuming, like 3,000 years, etc., etc. I'm just giving out vague numbers. So we can argue that despite all the innovations that we've had in the world, despite all the religions that have died because of technological innovations proving the disuse of them, we don't believe in a weather god anymore. We don't believe in a rain god. We don't believe in a corn god. We don't believe in a waterfall god. We don't believe in a fire god. Despite all of that, you've seen that somehow belief in Christ, somehow belief in Allah, somehow belief in I don't know the figures of Judaism, but like I think it's more or less the same as Christianity. But somehow you've seen that despite all of that, it's been necessary for a significant amount of humans to have belief in those figures, have belief in that system. I think humans in general, we need a belief system. We have to believe that we're living for something. We can't just believe we're waking up every day to go to Taco Bell and work 8 hours a day and then come back home and give our daughters leftover quesadillas. Like, we don't want to believe that. We want to believe that we're on here for a purpose. We want to believe that. Even like how you have all these motivational speakers that are going around telling people, trying to motivate people to find reason, to find the garra, which in Portuguese means like the grip to get themselves together and become entrepreneurs and find their life and restart their life over again and get off drugs, etc., dedicate their life to Christ or Katy Perry, whoever else is an option. Like, you see all these guys who are doing that, who are making a money off of more or less being guides to people. And I think a lot of that, you know, what's weird about that, interesting about that is, like, you have motivational speakers. You have Robert Greene, who came up with the book Mastery, and which was a book about finding your calling, finding your purpose in the world. You have all these guys who make a living off of helping you find your calling. Where back in the day, 3,000, 4,000 years ago, all the career options that you had, be there have been carpenter, be there have been woodcutter, which is the same thing. I apologize, I'm not very varied in my opinion. My occupations test is very limited to my career is cool. Carpentry, woodcutter, wood shaver, woodsman. but carpenter, you had woodcutter, you had woodsman. Doing it again. But like, if you were a carpenter, if you were a stone, if you were the hunter, if you were the hunter-gatherer, if you were the planter, if you were the preacher, a lot of what your career, a lot of what your career, what your occupation would be in the world at the time was simply just judged off of what was necessary in the community at the moment. So, like, you, of course you can't, like, yeah, you got to understand, like, a lot of that was judged off of what was necessary in that immediate community. So, you know what I'm trying to say? I guess am I making myself clear? Because I feel like I'm not. A lot of the careers that you had back in the day were judged off what was needed in the community. Fuck what you felt you wanted to do. And we all felt like we didn't want to work, but back in the day, the job that you did was what was necessary for to provide for your family, for the providing community. Thank God, if you're in America, we live in a day and age where you more or less can have the option. We're in this world in general. You can have the option to, to aspire and choose the career that really fulfills you and makes you feel alive in this world and makes you want to soar to the stars and feel like that you can find Christina Aguilera's Instagram page and comment and she'll comment back. Like, thank God we live in that world, and that's a great thing. I do believe in life callings. I do believe in finding your calling. And there's a lot of people, who are particularly in the Christian realm, that try to attach your calling to the structure of Christianity, which I don't know. I got to do some more reading about that. There's like a verse in a chapter in the Bible about finding yourself or meeting Tony Robbins at Tahiti. I use Tony Robbins because my uncle actually went to see Tony Robbins at Tahiti. But shout out to Tony Robbins. It was French Polynesia, somewhere in French Polynesia. I'm bringing all that up because I do think that. My bad. The microphone cut out again, but it's okay. I was able to recover the audio, so Scooch, I won't have to do that whole episode over again. But to get back to what I was saying earlier, I think for most of us who grew up in heavily spiritual families, heavily spiritually themed families or communities, I think a lot of us used to grow up feeling that guiding your life by a certain spiritual path, by a certain beacon of light that's calling you, that was a necessary outline of your life that you had to follow. That was a necessary path that was existing. It took me growing up to becoming a man to realize that's a choice. And a lot of people who listen to this podcast who are Christian, who are Muslim, who are Jewish, a lot of you will disagree with me, and I understand. I pray to God I don't lose you as a follower on this podcast with me expressing, it's just my personal opinion, but I feel like belief in all those different faiths, I feel like it's just an option. It's the same thing with me. I believe in my calling. I believe that there is a calling. I believe there is something that makes me get behind this microphone and just fills me up with these vocabulary and these definitions and these illustrations that I just have to get out and let you guys know about, and my opinions about how the world is and et cetera, et cetera. Like, I do feel like there's something that is guiding me, that is like a silver string that's pulling me closer and closer and closer to, like, that pulled me to this, you know. And I don't know what that is. I don't know if I was just inherently born to talk for hours on end. I don't know if that's just like what designs me or defines me, but what was designed by God when he made me. But that's just my personal opinion about it. You know, it can go either way. And shout out to the Angie right now who's in front of me. She's going to give me a free soda. But in all seriousness, those are all options. You know, I feel like those are all options. And if you are part of an organized religion, if you are part of a cult, quote unquote, once again, as I said earlier, I do think when you're saying the difference between a cult and a religion, I do think it's simply a game of terminology. It's a tag with terminology. I do think there's no difference between them. They're just simply groups of humans who get together and group think. You will never stop me from saying that groupthink is dangerous. You will never stop me from saying that. I do think it's dangerous. I think groupthink is dangerous because what happens is when you get a whole group of a million, thousand, couple, whatever number of people who don't share differing opinions, or probably do share differing opinions, but they're too scared to tell the lead person that, because they all Jesus. I cursed when I said that, but I didn't curse. I'm not cursing anymore, Mom. But like, when you do get people in large numbers to do that, it's dangerous because the outcome that that's how you get the first hike, whatever the thing is where a lot of Jews got barbecued. Like that's how you get that. That's how you get slavery. That's how you get that. Like, the people are not brave enough to stand up and combat. Like, thank God we're blessed enough to live in a time and day where a lot of this stuff is disputed, where it's common knowledge that you shouldn't, where it's common knowledge more or less that you shouldn't put humans in chains, that blacks and whites and Indians and Japs are chinks are equal. But you got to remember, and I tell people this all the time, that did not used to be common knowledge. There was really a time in this world where for a long, dummy long period of time, that was the social norm. Hundreds of years. I'm talking about hundreds of years that it was just normal just to hate things. Like, that's the social norm. That used to be the social norm. That is crazy. That's insane. Nobody think that? Like, nobody think that's weird? I don't know. Maybe it's just me. And I do think religion and cults have a lot to do with that. I do think group thinking has a lot to do with that. I'm not going to blame religion totally, because I do think religion is one of the tools that man will use to control people, kind of push their own motives, whether it's in a cult or whether it's in a religion, whether it is to get everybody to the gods, to worship Zeus, or whether it's to get everybody to tithe for their church so they can have a building fund. A lot of y'all who are not of African-American descent do not understand how funny that was that I just said, but the building fund is very significant in our communities. Ask anybody out here who went to St. Paul's or St. Missionaries Baptist Church. You know, black churches, we always have those over-illustrious names. But ask anybody who went to one of our churches, St. Missionaries Over the Water Rock in Los Angeles, Compton, Crips X Bloods meeting spot, Pentecostal House of the Lord. It is what it is. So to respond to Joe Rogan and Brett Weinstein after that long 20-minute rant, what is the difference between a cult and religion? Honestly, like I said when I first began my 20-minute tirade, I do think it's just tagged with terminology. I do think there's no difference between them. Whenever you get a group of ignorant ass people, it's a cult. Just being real, whenever you get a group of ignorant people, it's a cult. It's a group of ignorant people who follow Beyonce right now, and they probably finna come assassinate me tonight because I just called them ignorant. It's okay. That last white chocolate sip was worth it. I want y'all to hear this. Ah, man. What else can we talk about? I heard about the bombing at the Jewish synagogue. And I want to say it was in some state in the Northeast. I'm not sure where. I can't speak too intelligently about it because I am not sure totally what occurred and what happened, etc., etc. I was reading online how Kelly Conway had said she liked Trump's response to it, to the event. I saw it yesterday. I think he tweeted or quoted, I'm misquoting him, but he said, you know, anti-Semitism shall not be tolerated in the United States of America. Woo-woo-woo. And she said something else that he's trying to bring culture together, woo-woo-woo-woo, et cetera, et cetera. I don't know totally how I feel about that. I do like his response. I do like his response to that. I don't know if she said he was bringing cultures together or et cetera. I think he said something like he's trying to bring the world together or something like that. I agree with what he said. Let me say this because I'm good. I gotta always dissect my opinions about somebody's words. I agree that I do like his response to the event that took place. And I want to say rest in peace to all the lives that were lost in that event, man. That is so sad. That is terrible. I hate the fact that... How you still hate Jews in 2018? Like, you know, we wouldn't have half the TV channels we have without Jewish people. Like, how can you hate Jewish people in 2018? But with that being said, like, not many good comedians we got on Comedy Central because of Jewish people. Like, I mean, with that being said, I don't know if I agree with her on the part of where she says that he's he's bringing all of our races together. I don't know about that because, you know, hey, same person who said 3 years ago, what did he say 3 years ago? He said he was proposing a ban of allowing all Muslims coming into the country. So I don't know about that. You know what's weird is I was thinking about this the other day. Because I do, there did used to be a time where if you were a white supremacist, Jews were included in the group of minority N-words that you didn't like. Are Jewish people white people now, or is that not a thing anymore? I was thinking about that, like, because there used to be a time where people didn't like Jews, Italians, and Irish people. But now I'm guessing apparently all three of those are in the white category now. So I'm wondering, like, I don't know, I just thought about that right now. I just thought about that right now. It's interesting. It's, dude, I'm going to tell you what blew my mind, and I know I'm getting off topic. When I was at work on Saturday, I met this couple. We were an Australian couple. And she told me something I never knew. She told me, like, when you go to Australia, but even then, now I think about it, she know what she was talking. She told me Australia is really diverse. She said, it's really diverse. I can't make her. It's really diverse. Like, I can't make it. I do terrible. Despite how many episodes of The Crocodile Hunter I watched as a child, I do terrible, terrible, very, 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 very terrible Australian accents. But she said, oh, yeah, it's full of all different people from different parts of the world. And I was like, she's like, my family, they're not just white. Like, my family's from Italy and Portugal. I was like, bitch, that's white. Like, you gotta understand, to people who are colored, we just look at all races of white people from Europe as white. Like, it's like, but she did make me interested. She was beautiful, too. I don't want to say her name because I don't want her husband to ride on his horse and lasso me and drag me back to Valley Springs or wherever they live at. But very beautiful couple, very nice people. Shout out to them. She was really nice, you know, really nice people. She had really beautiful cheekbones, like. Really, I be noticing that, bro. That's how I know I'm starting to get weird. That's why I know I'm starting to get to the childbearing age where you start noticing physical attributes about women that nobody ever pays attention to. Like, oh my God, she has the best ankles. Like just little weird stuff like that I'm starting to notice. And yeah, man, that's just where I've been at. That's mentally where I've been at. That's been mentally where I have been at this whole last 2 days. I had the best shrimp lavash wrap at my home. If you are trying to cut carbs, one of the best ways I can tell you to cut carbs, bro, go to Walmart. If you go to the bread aisle in Walmart, they have an option for you to buy called lavash bread. It tastes amazing, and I highly recommend that you get it, bro. It is the best thing that you can purchase on God's green earth. Bro, I am telling you, you will not be disappointed. I will say that right now, because I got like 20 of them. I've been eating them every single goddamn day. I had a shrimp one today. I had an egg one this morning. I had a chicken one yesterday. I had a steak one today. Bro, I've just been eating them. I've just been eating them. And Q&A's. Shout out to everybody who responded to my Q&A's on Instagram. I do appreciate the love. Y'all had me weak because I put a quote up. I put a picture of a Tulane Court projects in Montgomery, Alabama, and I put in the caption, "How do you know you are in the projects?" And I said, and one dude, shout out to Jacob. I love Jacob, bro. Really good dude. One of the greatest firefighters in the world. One of the greatest future firefighters that we have in the world. And what he had said was, "Is when you see cars on cinder blocks instead of wheels." I laughed. I had never thought about that. And this actually might be a good question. This might actually be a good topic for some of you guys, from you millennials out there who are looking to purchase homes in unfamiliar areas in uncharted territory, or quote unquote, the hood. How do you know you're in the hood or not? There are a few tactics that you can take. One way you can tell you're in the hood or not, this always works. Look at the care of the houses. And look at the care of the lawns. Lawns ain't cut and the house ain't newly painted, then you in the hood. And truth be told, sometimes the houses can be dull and it can be a nice neighborhood. So don't pay too much attention to that. But yeah, I'm talking about if the lawn looked like the hair on Frodo's foot in Lord of the Rings, hey, you are in the ghetto. You need to go. MapQuest lied to you. You need to go. Google Maps is not your friend. You need to go somewhere else. That's one way you know you in the hood. if this one way too, if you go out at odd hours of the day and you see hella people outside just hanging out at the corner, that's one way you know you're in an impoverished area. If you see more people in the street than in the house, which truthfully you would have in a way, you know, if they was in the house. But if there's more people in the street than you probably would think would be in the house, then yeah, you're probably in a very dangerous area. That's one way. And sometimes you just know. I got instinct for that. Sometimes you just know when you in a shitty area. Sometimes you just know. You know, like, which is kind of ironic because a lot of the times what we think is the suburbs, what we think is the hood out here, could probably pass for the suburbs in Durban, South Africa, or hell, Haiti, Malay. Shit, the projects is probably the mansions if you go to Haiti. So, I mean, it is a different world. I mean, let me think of some other tactics you could use. One other way you could use is I think that can be it. It's a lot of different ways, man. I'm just telling you, use all the common sense that your mom and dad instilled to you. This is what you went to school for. So be careful. I will tell you, there is a misconception that most people have who have never lived in the hood, who have never lived in an impoverished area, that when you go to the hood, niggas are just gonna snatch you out your car at the stoplight and just rob you and take your Chuck E. Cheese coins and everything. But like, it's bro, when I tell you, you gotta be a really weak looking male to it. That only happens to you if you go to the part of the hood where it's the most hot at. Like, I always tell you, I've lived in like four or five different hoods in my life. Only two of them was actually in the part of the hood that's the most dangerous. Because, see, most hoods that you go to, see, 80% of the hood that you go to, if you go to most hoods, it won't necessarily be people just shooting each other in the streets. What you'll see is you'll see random things like crackheads walking around. And I went to my old hood 2 weeks ago. So it was a crackhead sitting in the computer desk chairs with wheels on them. He was sitting in the chair in the middle of the street, just spinning himself around and around and around. Cars just driving by this nigga. You see stuff like that in the hood. And if you a kid growing up in the hood, you're gonna go through a lot of things because you're gonna have to fight. You're gonna have to fight. You're gonna have to put in work. You're gonna have to keep some name words off you. You're gonna have to let them know. But you know, it don't be that bad, you know. But most neighborhoods, man. If you a man, if you stand on your own too, you won't have that many problems with people in the neighborhood. But I'm just being all the way honest with you. You know, it really just depends. So yeah, that's what I say about that. I didn't really get that many other Q&A's. So, with that being said, my name is JT. Shout out to everybody listening to the podcast. Shout out to everybody who's a part of the family. Much love, peace, and chicken grease. We'll be back here tomorrow. Dang sure a lot earlier than today. You know, I apologize that this could not be a live episode, but I had to work what I had to work with. So, thank you for listening. Thank you for being part of the family. It's the People's Paradise Podcast. We are out. Oh, yeah, and Lowbrow, shout out to everybody listening to the podcast. If you're 21 and up, truly if you're 18 and up, Lowbrow's in downtown Sacramento, they're having a really big Halloween party on Wednesday. If you live in Sacramento County or somewhere within 100 miles of worth driving and you want to see me, come out there. It's going to be lit. I'm coming out there. My cousin coming out there. We're bringing our friends. We cute. Let's do it.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.